All right. Hey, you know, if you bought a car, either pre-owned or a new car, and it's sitting there, if they didn't give you the keys to it, it wouldn't do you any good. Right? Huh? I want to talk about discovering the keys to a new life. You know? Now, I see people having problems as they're in their Christian walk and in their normal walk, having problems with finance and health and being successful in life. They either don't know where to find the keys or not using the keys that they have to unlock a better life. You ever misplaced a key? And as long as you didn't have that key, you couldn't enjoy any of the benefits that that key unlocked. Am I right or wrong? Well, King Solomon gives us some keys that are necessary to have a good life, Christian life, and be successful. Proverbs 4:20. I'm going to read it from the New King James and the NLT, okay? Proverbs 4:20. Okay? I'll give y'all a chance to find it on your iPads and in your iPhones and your regular Bible. And let me see if I turned my phone off. I didn't. I'm glad I thought about it. Now I got it. That would have been something, wouldn't it? But you know what? It wouldn't have bothered me. I just kept on going. Y'all know me. Nothing bothers me. All right. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I like NLT on this. Says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they may bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Now, what he seems to be saying here, it seems to be elementary or basic, but these are the key verses to opening up a better life for yourself that God wants you to have. You know, one person said, those who do the basics will be successful. Another person said, our success is hidden in our daily routine. Amen. You know, in sports, if you don't execute the basics, you're not going to win the game. There is a basic way to do things. If you're, you know, I was fast, so I'm out here. I'm a gunner. I'm out here way on the sides, and I'm a gunner. And I go to where the ball is. We had me and another kid. These other guys went straight down the field. Now, when you're flying down that field, when you get to where the ball is, you got to start breaking down. If you just stay up and continue, most of the time you don't make a tackle. If you don't break down and get in a position, a basic tackling, how many of you guys played football? Is that not correct? It's the basics. You know, it's great when you go to the game. But let me ask you a question. What do you do, or what did you have to do to get yourself to the game and win? You practice the basics over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until they become a part of you and they were just automatic. You didn't even have to think about it. Just automatic. You don't think. It's because you have gone over them so many times, they are a part of you. And you just do it. As you learn to drive. Let's take that. There are basics. And you go over those many, many times in driver's ed and all of the things, you know, and Now they don't have it in school. When I was in school, they had driver's ed, and you took that. But before you get your license, you got to drive so many hours. And with a licensed driver that's helping you. Now, after how many of you have been driving for a bunch of years? You know, like 20 years, 25 years. Do you come up to a stop sign or a stoplight and think, okay, now I got to stop where that line is? Huh? You just automatically do it. Why? Because it's the basics of driving. You know, if you don't stop on that line when you're taking a driver's test, they'll fail you. You see, what do I mean when I talk about the basics of Christian life? Well, the basics of Christian life is based on the Word of God. And the number one key to executing the Word of God in your life is to do what these scriptures that I've just read have said. You know, my dad's success and part of my success, a lot of my success, most of my success has been what I learned from him. And he always was, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? See, our basic behavior and believing comes from knowing the Word of God. What you do with the Word of God will depend on whether you have a good foundation in Christ and everything goes good. But if you don't have a good foundation in Christ coming from the Word of God, you're not going to have a lot of success. When you're building a building, if they don't take care of the foundation, I don't care how pretty it is finished, the elevation is when it's finished, I don't care how beautiful it is on the inside, in a few years, there are going to be cracks, the floor is going to be sagging, because they didn't take care of the basic. The basics for a building is the foundation. We all know that. Charlie built it. I was just overseeing. I mean, I was there. I come out here every day. I watched everything they did. I spent more time out here than I did in my office when we were building this building. My wife shaking her head down there. But I want to tell you what. You walk around this building, you don't see a lot of cracks anywhere. Because old Mr. Harrison, we had to drill piers. And we got these different engineers and they'd do it and they'd say, okay, brown shale is okay, it's good. Mr. Harrison said, if I drill those piers, we go to blue shale, or I'm not even interested in doing it. Because he said, I've been drilling in this Oklahoma soil for 30 years. And if you don't go to blue shale, you'll have problems. Any of y'all ever lived over in student housing across the street? We got foundation problems over there. I don't know how many of those, some of those apartments, we've had to go in and drill a hole in the middle of the floor and pour this stuff down in there that lifts it up because it wasn't done right. If you live in that housing project behind it, they have problems too because of this. The first thing they did with this building is they took 3 feet of topsoil off of this and piled it up out there. How many of you were here when we built the building? How many of you remember the Hagen's Mountain, they called it out there? They called it, that's what the town called it. They called it Hagen's Mountain. But hey, from that corner outside to that corner outside, from that corner to that corner, from that corner to that corner, from that corner to that corner outside, it's 300 feet. That's 100 yards. And that's the square. So that's what they took out, 3 feet of soil. Then they brought in different soil because it's clay. And anybody knows why? Clay, when it dries up, it does this, and when it gets wet, it expands, contracts and expands. And man, they'd bring in a load of dirt and all this, go through it with a sheep's foot, and then they go through with lime or something that looked like lime anyway, and spread it out on there. Then they go back through and till it all up. Then they go back over it with that sheep's foot. Then they would roll it out with one of those rollers. And then they'd bring in another load. Do the same thing again. Until when they finished the pad, that they called it, that this set on, it was so hard, you could just come around, bounce a basketball off of it, just like you would a concrete floor. Why? Because this building was going to be a big building and it had to have the correct foundation. In your life, if you don't build the correct foundation, the devil will take advantage of you. Come on now. Let's go back and look at Proverbs 4:20. My child, attend to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. The Voice translation says, my son, pay attention to all the words I'm telling you. Lean closer so you may hear all I say. Pay attention. Lean closer. Have you ever had to lean closer to somebody to hear what they say? Yeah. You know, now I think some people have a problem when they read this because they see the word pay. Say, some people don't pay for nothing. They want it as long as it's free. It comes automatically without them doing anything. My dad used to tell this, and in a meeting, I might have been there, I don't know, I heard him tell enough, but I probably was there. There's so many of those stories, I was there, and I can almost hear him, his voice in my head now. And so he was trying to get this lady to believe for her healing. And so he finally said to her, will you do what I tell you to? And the lady said, as long as it's easy. Yeah, as some people are willing to do anything as long as it don't cost them nothing. But the truth is, in our Christian life and our natural life, it doesn't work that way. In the natural, if you're not willing to do the hard work and do what is necessary, you're not going to be successful. And in the Christian walk, if you're not willing to get into the Word and hide the Word in your heart, you're not going to be successful. You know? How many of you have ever had your parents or school teacher say to you, pay attention. Listen to what I'm saying. I had 5 people raise their hand. I know more than that of you had got. Because there's some of your parents that just today you told one of your kids, listen to me, pay attention. Well, the problem is they could tell that you were listening, but you weren't listening. Come on now. Our wives accuse us husbands of that all the time. Or maybe I should. My wife says that I don't listen sometimes. And I know Tad is the same way. But maybe it was because you was thinking, you were really thinking about something else. Maybe you was, you know, your dad was talking to you and telling you something, and you thinking about going out and going down to, going, well, I'll use myself, going next door over Chunky's house. Chunky Mooney, he and I grew up together, and we're going to go do something, you know. And I'm hearing him, but I'm not hearing him. And he said, son, pay attention to what I'm saying. It's important. Why? Because I need to execute whatever he's telling me. Hello. Listen carefully, it says. Another translation says, incline your ear. The voice there, as I read, said, lean closer. Those words to me say, put forth an extra effort to get to know the Word of God. Pay attention means listen carefully. You need to cultivate a daily routine of reading and studying the Word. It will mean the difference between a good life and just a mediocre life. How we pay attention and listen to the Word of God and execute what the Word says will be the difference between the abundant life and just life. And Jesus said he wanted us to have life and have it more abundantly, right? Now, let's look at 421 for a minute. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, Proverbs 4:21 NLT. The voice says, keep them before you. Meditate on them. Set them safely in your heart. How many of you know it's easy to read the Bible here now, you reading it, when I'm reading it. But man, when you get by yourself, you got a lot of other stuff to do in the house. You got jobs. You got things to do. It's a little more difficult. Right there, you're sitting there, you ain't got nothing else to do anyway except open up your Bible and read it. At home, you got all kinds of things to do. What? See, King Solomon here is giving us some good practical advice. He said, there, keep them before you. Keep the Word of God in front of you. I think God made us, so I think he knows that we are a visual person. You know, we are moved by what we see. That's why the TV is filled with all of these things that present stuff to us in a visual format. Magazine, advertisements in newspaper, advertisements on the billboard. We got one right out in front of the church. It's visual. Right? You ever been in a store? You got a list. My wife sent me to the store the other day. I had a list, and I'm going through there, but I see cherries. I was supposed to be getting, and I got it, but I was supposed to be getting the bell pepper. But you know, I walk in there, hey, there's cherries. I bought cherries because I like cherries, you know, on the stem, you know. I like them. In fact, that was my snack last night before I went to bed. But if I had not ever seen those cherries, I wouldn't have bought them. If I had walked by and been looking at something over here and didn't see this case over here with the cherry, I wouldn't have bought it. It was my vision that caused me to see the cherries. Hey, you like cherries? Get them. See, what we see will affect what we believe and how we believe. We have to look into the Word of God and get the Word in our heart. Now, we need to realize here the heart is not talking about this physical muscle that pumps blood. It's talking about the real man, the spirit on the inside. Remember, of course, we all know these two scriptures, but I only use them because of the word heart here. For Mark 11:23, for surely I say unto you, who says this mount be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have what he says. And then Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I want you to notice it said believe in heart was in there, both of those scriptures. You see, we have to believe the scripture with here, the spirit man on the inside, not the intellectual man up here. Now you go through the intellectual man to get him to the heart man over and over again. You know, you can't keep looking at things that draw you away from the Word of God and expect to have anything. In fact, if you're not careful, you can look at too much of the news of what's going on in the world today, and it starts having an effect on you otherwise. Come on, don't. It's real, but it's not as real as the Word of God. God's Word is better. God's Word takes precedence. Now let's go to 22, and I got 5 minutes left. Verse 22 of Proverbs 4. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. That's the NLT. The New Century Version says they are the key to life for those who find them. They bring health to the whole body. And then the Voice translation says, for those who discover them, they are life. They bring wholeness and healing to their bodies. Now, verse 22 is describing the results of you enacting verses 20 and 21. Many things have a cause and effect, sowing and reaping. In order to get to the benefit, you have to do the other one. If you're a salesperson, now, you have to learn about that product and know that product. And then you have to learn sales techniques. When you do that and you go out on the floor, you'll find out your sales will increase. I guarantee you, if you're shopping, I don't care what it is. You're shopping for a car, you're shopping for a stove, you're shopping for a refrigerator, washing machine, dishwasher, whatever, bed, mattress. You go there, you start talking to the guy, and you start asking him some questions, and he starts giving you some rigmarole answer. What's the first thing you're going to do? Leave. Because he doesn't even know anything about his product. We were somewhere one time. We walked out of a store. I don't know whether the members or not. I said, well, I know more about that than he does. You know, it seems we need to get a hold of the fact, pay attention, listen carefully, don't lose sight of the Word of God. Get it planted deep in our hearts, it said. And it says, when that happens, the voice says, for those who discover them, they are life. They bring wholeness and healing to our bodies. We need to plant the truth in our heart. Of course, I said it a while ago, but John 10:10 in the NLT says to give them a rich and satisfying life. The NIV says, have it to the full. Wade translation says, have it to the fullest measure. William's translation says, have it till it overflows. Oh, I like that one. God wants our whole life to be impregnated with the Word of God until it overflows in every area of our life. You know, when we have the Word of God on the inside of us, it will affect how we think, how we believe, and what we say. It will affect the way we conduct ourselves. It will affect the level of life that we live and the quality of life that we have. Understanding and getting a hold of the Word of God is the foundation for living the abundant life. You know, the Word of God that you have on the inside of you and that you speak out of your mouth will determine the life that you end up living. It's able to produce all the things that you need. Right? Everything. The Word of God will either give you life or death. If you have it, you got life. If you don't have it, you got death. I'm talking about spiritually now. The Word of God, well, it's health or sickness. With it, it's one, remember I said cause and effect a while ago? Prosperity or poverty, bound or free, condemned or righteous. All, it depends on these great and precious promises of God according to 2 Peter 1:4. The New Life Translation of 2 Peter 1:4, the promises are of great worth. No money can buy them. These promises, though, through these promises, you can have God's own life in you. We need to realize that the Word of God is of greater value than money. It's more precious than any amount of money you can think about. The Word of God in our heart will elevate you to a level that you've never been at before. We need to get off a barely get along street and move up on Abundant Life Avenue. Too many people are living on barely get along street right next to the alley of Gone Gone. We need to move up with God. You move up with God by knowing what the Word of God says and doing what these scriptures say. King Solomon was trying to tell us how to rise to a new level in life. How is that? By paying attention to God's Word. By listening carefully to what God has to say, and by keeping them before us, don't lose sight of them. You know, I think it's time that we take a hold of the keys that is given to us here in Proverbs 4:20-22 and renew ourselves to our commitment to the Word of God. You know, when I was running track in high school, they put me in a race one day because actually, they was warming up. He had already qualified, and they were warming up, and some guys messing around, and some guy stumbled and stepped on his foot. Now, nowadays, with those nubs they have, it wouldn't make no difference. But how many of you ran track when we had spikes about that long? Anybody? And if you step on your foot with it, it's going to go right through it. And we had them old cinder tracks, not the stuff they have today. And so they said, okay, he's qualified for the finals, and since he's hurt and can't run, you can put one of your other runners in, but it has to be somebody that is already qualified and run in a finals. Well, I had qualified in the 880 relay, and I had run in the 880 relay finals, and so they stuck me in there, and I'd never run this race before. And I asked the coach what to do, and he said, well, so-and-so up there, see that guy there? And I said, yeah. He said, he's supposed to be the class of the field. Keep him in sight about 5 yards in front of you. And then when time comes, kick and go around him. Well, I got in there. Actually, it was the 440, which back then in 57, the 440 was considered a middle distance race. And after the second corner, you could break down and get out of lanes. You can't do that now. So I got behind. I was running for Cadville Bible Academy, and it was Days Creek runner. I got up behind him, and I'm just chugging along, doing good, you know. And we come off that last corner, and we got that stretch headed down, and I'm ready to kick because I haven't even kicked at all. I mean, I'm just, and I, without realizing it, another Days Creek runner, I guess they had figured out that I could beat him. He came up, and he wouldn't go this way. He would just run right beside of me. I was no way I could get between them without hitting them. And I didn't know whether I could slow down and go around or not. And after we finished, I realized we could. So they had me boxed in. That's what the devil's doing to you. He gets you boxed in. You got to take the word of God and break out. Coach said, you should have just said that. And I could have beat both of them, but I didn't know it. See, sometimes because you don't know something, because you don't know the word of God, you get trapped in. And the devil takes advantage. They took advantage of me because I had never run that race before. And they knew what I was doing. So they took advantage of me. I can tell you one thing. If that old boy in front of me had a stumble one time, I would have ripped his calf wide open, because as his foot came up, mine was coming down. That's how close I was to him. In fact, we crossed the finish line 1-2, and I was a hundredth of a second behind him. That's how close I was to him. I was pushing him hard, trying to get him to get a little faster so I could jump in between the both of them. But you see, I was trapped because I didn't know how to run that race. I'd never run it before. I didn't know the strategies of it. Some people don't realize this, but in running track, anybody here run track? People don't realize it, but there's strategies to running track. Some people think you just get out there and run. Well, if you do, you won't win. You got to know what you're doing. I was trapped because I didn't know the strategy of running that particular race. Now, the 220, I did. I ran it all the time. Running in the relay, I knew. I ran it all the time. I knew what to do. I knew how to run that race. I knew how to pace myself if necessary. You are getting trapped by the enemy and not having the life that God wants you to have, because you're not doing what Proverbs 4:20-22 says. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand up. Heavenly Father, I just reminded these people again of the things that you've said in your word concerning us keeping the word of God before our eyes, putting the word of God into our hearts, listening intently and paying attention to what the word says and then doing it. I pray, Father, that we will all make a new commitment tonight to renew ourselves in these things. We all know them, but sometimes we need a reminder. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I know most of you knew all this already, but hey, sometimes you need to be reminded. Hello. Praise the Lord. Well, Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock. And Sunday night, 6 o'clock, camp meeting starts. Hallelujah. And we got plenty of those balconies will be open. We got plenty of room, and we can all spread out and have a great time. Amen. I've talked to two of the speakers already this week, and they're excited about what's going to happen. Amen. Now, if you're in this service with us tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you're in here and you need to, you know what it is to serve God, but you're not where you need to be, you need to rededicate your life. And if that's you watching us, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. This congregation is going to repeat it. You're going to repeat it. You there going to, at home are going to repeat it after me. Do this. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. You said in your word that if we would believe that he's the Son of God and that he died for our sin and that he rose again from the grave, and if we would confess him as Lord and Savior and believe all of those statements in our heart and confess them with our mouth, we will be saved. You heard me confess them with my mouth, and I believe them in my heart, and I thank you now that I'm that new person in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen and amen. If you're in the congregation and you prayed that prayer for the first time or in rededication, see one of these fine gentlemen or fine persons in these red shirts and tell them about it. They'll help you out. If you prayed that with us online, go to the computer and go to partner service at rhema.org and let us know about it, okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Isn't Jesus wonderful? All right, be careful going out. Keep your distances. Don't shake hands with people. All right, see y'all Sunday morning right here. God bless.